Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Paul Harmon. I'm the pastor of Hope Chapel. Pastor Zach, thank you for making it fresh and real, and don't go silent on us. This is a time we want to engage the Word of God. I actually have my Bible in hand, and I want to invite you to gather your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you could maybe load one up on your electronic devices. They have our iPhone password ready to go right there if you would like that, or maybe even just raise your hand and utilize one of our Bibles. I like my Bible very much. I enjoy it. It's an amazing book, is it not? I want to welcome you who are following us by live stream. It's always a delight to get your feedback or maybe even just tap out a message to me right there on the screen as you're watching this morning. It is the eve of the eve. That's what we call it at our home. Merry Eve of the Eve. And so it just helps expedite things for Christmas, doesn't it? Before you know it, Christmas is going to be so quickly past us, and the only thing you have left is your Amex bills and Visa accounts overdue. I'm sure that's like, I guess Christmas came. Look at what we've got. Where is it all? And so we're grateful. Many of you are going to be driving, possibly, and we're glad that you're in town. Heard a cute story about this group of elderly women in one car, and all of a sudden, naturally, the state trooper had to pull them over and leaned into the window and said, "Ma'am," to this 90-year-old woman, "don't you know that the speed limit is faster than 35 miles an hour?" She said, "Well, officer, I'm only going what the sign says. It says 35. He said, "Ma'am, that is the state highway you're on. You're on Highway 35. And he said, "By the way, why are all your passengers so riveted with fear on their faces?" She said, "Well, we just got off of Highway 95. So we're glad you put it in park and you're here at Hope Chapel. It's a safe harbor and we're glad you're here. Merry Christmas, everyone. Well, I wanted to highlight here, first of all, if you have your Bible, that would be wonderful. The back of the bulletin, you'll see today's outline, the outline of today's message. Our Sunday here at Hope Chapel, the message is entitled, "The Ultimate Birth Foretold." We're looking at Isaiah chapter 7. Man, you talk about, there have been some unique births. And naturally, all of you have had strategic, miraculous births. Don't you just think that's a miracle? Just even a baby in itself when they're born. I've watched three of my children being born. I'm a trained recipient. I went through Lamaze. So I had my baseball mitt, and I was ready to catch them. And when you see them starting to cry, it's a miracle, absolute miracle. There are some miracle births that are mentioned in Scripture. We have Samuel's birth. Remember Hannah, his mother, infertile, and yet God brought forth an amazing baby to become the great prophet Samuel. How about John the Baptist? He was born to elderly, aged parents, miracle. And Isaiah is going to give us one of the most spectacular, the birth of the Messiah by a virgin. Isaiah is the most quoted prophet in the New Testament. So we're taking a look at Isaiah chapter 7 here. And it's amazing because we're dealing with just the virgin birth in itself. Do you realize that there are still some people that do not consider the virgin birth to actually be a truth within the Scriptures, that there are challenges within even theological training venues that people are not believing that it was an actual event that took place. Red Book magazine tailored a research that came out by Berkeley, and Berkeley polled a different denominations. And so many years ago, at that time, this is the outcome of that polling. They found the American Baptists, 59%, believed in the virgin birth. You say, well, that's pretty good. But that means that you have roughly 31% of individuals not believing in the virgin birth. You go on through the Lutherans, 60% believe in the virgin birth. That means then you have 30+40 people percent, I should say, do not believe in the virgin birth. The poll went on, Episcopalians, 39% believe in the virgin birth, which means then 61% do not believe that the virgin birth took place. We have then the Methodists, 34% believe in the virgin birth, 66% do not believe in the virgin birth. 21% in the congregational churches believe in the virgin birth, 79% do not believe in the virgin birth. So when we take a look at this, this is a critical truth within Scripture. And we're looking here where the prophet foretold about a sign. I don't know if you have ever asked God, Lord, I need a sign because I'm not quite sure what direction to take. My life's on a journey. I'm stalled out. I'm uncertain. Things are kind of hitting the fan in my life. Show me a sign. And that's what's taking place here in our setting. We have, first point, if you look at your notes, the setting, the political situation under Ahaz, king of Judah. In chapter 7, before we read, verse 1 through 9, the setting is this. King Ahaz, who is the king of Judah, the remnant of Israel, is finding himself under the assault of King Rezin. All of a sudden, you have Rezin from the king of Syria and Pekah, king of the northern tribes of Israel, are banding together to attack Judah. And that's what's taking place in chapter 7. The other references are there as well. How that came about is you had Rezin and Pekah asking Ahaz, let's make an alliance here because we want to come against the strong man, the Assyrian army. They're threatening all of us. And King Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to do that. So these two kings say, we're going to now attack you. And in their panic, in comes the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7. And he now tells the king, Ahaz, do not worry about these two kings. God's going to deal with them. He's going to do a miracle. So we have the prophet Isaiah comes in. He's with his son. And then he asks, why don't you ask God for a sign? Since he's going to do this, just to prove it to you, he's going to come on big time for you. So let me just pray, as we always do when we always approach this book, because we're taking a look at a prophecy here, which is an amazing thing. I always love the Word of God because it is different than any other book. There are 26 other religious books that declare that they too are the Word of God. But see, this book contains predictive prophecies. That's what makes this unique than any other book on our planet. And 330 prophecies about Jesus alone. And we're taking a look at one here. So, Father, thank you for opening our hearts. As we open the Word and just read it, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pick it up at verse 10. It says, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to worry men? But will you worry my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. So we take a look here. It's amazing because God is asking through the prophet, you're so dreadfully concerned about this. God's going to deliver you and your kingdom. Go ahead and ask a sign just to prove the case. But Ahaz says something here. I'm not going to ask the king. What he's actually saying, I don't want to test the king. He really should say, I don't trust God. That's what he's saying. I don't trust God because he's already put his confidence in the Assyrians. He's going to really just scrape all the treasury of the temple and basically hire out mercenaries against these two kings. So he's already got a plan laid out. Why do I need to have an element of a sign from God? My play is already played out. I don't know if you've ever had that as well. It's like, I don't need to trust God. I don't need a sign. I think I've got things laid out okay. That's where King Ahaz, he's at. But that sign, point number two on our notes, the sign, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now that word sign, alf in Hebrew, literally means a signpost, or we could say a miracle. This is going to be literally a signal for you, that God is going to not only do something for you, King Ahaz, immediate, but also future tense. Amazing. So we look here for a moment, because that sign being Emmanuel. Now that's a really, it's a Hebrew name that's a construct that comes and literally says God with us. Emmanuel, that's literally that title of God. God is with us. And so when we look at that sign, it's amazing, because Ahaz is dealing with, Isaiah comes in with his son. He's looking at this. And when would this take place? Well, comes down, he says, basically, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And before, where it takes a look here and says that he's coming off. Now, the gestation period for a human being is literally 9 months. And that curds and honey element, in other words, when they start to come into solid foods, is about 2 to 3 years. That's literally what God is saying through the prophets. Within 2 to 3 years, those threats that are on your life will be no more. Now, that was an immediate fulfillment, but 700 years later, the Messiah would come. A sign for you. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. What an interesting declaration, because we know it's a virgin. The word of God is so clear. We have the gospel writers. Luke, he's a doctor. He calls it a virgin birth. We have Matthew as he's writing. Remember, we were in Luke chapter 1 last couple of weeks, and also Matthew chapter 1. Matthew calls it a virgin birth. It was Mary herself who said, how can this be, this birth announcement, seeing I've not known a man sexually? She's calling it a miracle. So it's interesting, we take a look at the sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. It's interesting to note that Larry King was interviewed a while back. And Larry King, as you know, he interviews people, but he's being interviewed. And the person asked Larry King, if you could go back in time and interview one person, who would you interview? He said, I would interview Jesus Christ. What would you ask? He said, I would ask, was it really a virgin birth? Because if it was, that would change all of history for me. Now, it's interesting. You and I are saying, okay, maybe we might say it was a virgin birth. Maybe it wasn't. But how about just a sign? Sometimes you and I might just need that particular sign. God's already played it out for us. He's not only given prophecy 700 years, Jesus comes, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, 2,000 years later, isn't it great God made you? Not an accident you're here, not an accident you're watching via live stream. But that element of that sign is to set us up with point number three, a Savior. We see here, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The truth of the gospel, so wonderful, is that God himself humbled himself, became a single cell in the womb of a virgin, floating around in embryonic fluid for 9 months. It's an amazing thing that God would establish himself in such little finite ways. John Wahlberg, he's the past president of Dallas Theological Seminary, said this, that the whole construct of theology, which means the study of God, is hung on one thread. That thread, the virgin birth. No virgin birth, we're really in trouble. Why? Well, there's something about the blood that's so vital. We recognize this, that as Leviticus says in chapter 17, verse 11, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus shed his blood, pay the price for humanity's sins. For you who believe, we've been enjoying that aspect of saved by grace through faith. Dr. Martin DeHaan, he's an MD, pointed it out very clearly a while back that children do not inherit the blood type from their mother. They inherit it from their father. That's why a child can have a different blood type than the mother. But the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, providing the undefiled blood, pure blood, divine blood, it's an amazing, precious blood, Emmanuel, God with us. When we come to that point, we take a look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It's on your notes, and it says, "She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet being Isaiah." King Ahaz, he came along and said, "I won't trouble the Lord. I won't really trust the Lord. I don't need a sign." God says, "Okay, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. The virgin shall conceive, and guess what? It's going to be God coming to be with you." This day, when we take a look, the application being, isn't it interesting? Because we already have a chance to make choices in our lives. One of the things that's so significant for people is the element of just happiness. So let me kind of drill down just a little bit with us this morning. You know, happiness is a great element that God intends to provide. The area is called joy, where people have joy. When it comes to that, everybody longs for happiness in their life, but few people possess it. Come across that, and people are looking for ways to have joy. They pursue it. It's a universal thing with people. It's timeless. Matter of fact, years ago, the writers of the United States Declaration of Independence understood this, that people, by their creator, have the unalienable rights, and they list one, and that is, for all people, the pursuit of happiness. Isn't that true? So when we look at the area of our own lives, even this morning, God's given us a sign in his son Jesus, Savior of the world. And people are coming along and say, "Well, you know, I'm not really that happy. I'm pursuing that." I think sometimes you might even find that among Christians, because Christians get it confused about happiness. They think, well, if holiness and happiness doesn't quite mingle together, that somehow to live a pure life, you have to not be very fun. But if you were to look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. Isn't that amazing? And that Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. No joy, no strength. So the desire for God to give you just more than a knowledge, but to give you an ability to experience an element of happiness in your life, that's what we're talking about right now, right now. See, God gave a sign. He fulfilled that many years ago. But then some of us can't quite press into that area of that happiness that God intends. You know, there's areas in Scripture that actually command people to be joyful. Let me cite a couple of them. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 11, it says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." There's another command about just being joyful. In Psalm 40, verse 16, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." There's even directives about being joyful in the midst of difficulties. There's something that's sustainable for all people, even in the midst of challenges. How about John 16, verse 33? "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it." Man, it's like, wow, how does that come about? Man, God's given us a sign. He's with us. Why isn't that happiness or joyfulness sustainable? Well, let's talk just a little bit more. It's interesting to note that happiness, people think, is a result of the outcome in our lives. But it actually is a choice. It's a choice. Sometimes people think, well, if I just have enough of these bad things removed and enough of good things come in my way and hang out with good people, I'll be happy. But happiness as we know it is something that's working on the inside. See, I can't change your situation. I can't change your situation. God will. But in the meantime, it's a choice you make. Happiness isn't a state of being. It's really a state of the mind. True happiness is not predicated on your circumstances. So just check out, are you happy today? Well, if you are, it's probably because you've been kind of trained that happiness is a byproduct because everything seems to be coming along. But what if it isn't? What if you have to face reality like being with the relatives this holiday? The Apostle Paul, while he's in prison, said this. He penned it to the Philippian church, chapter 4, verse 11. It says, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And that's a learned thing. That's an amazing statement. Come along like that. So to deal with something on the inside, how do we acquire that happiness? Well, it comes right down to it. It's like, Lord, you provide my happiness and my joy. I'm declaring that, taking hold of that in Jesus. You're my sign. One of the great enemies of your happiness, here we go. Are you ready? Is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is the root of all our grief. Our kids used to, we laugh and just we'd start joking with each other, and then one of them would say, ah, you're causing me grief. That's kind of like, you know, stop. But self-centeredness will cause that individual, cause them to literally go into a society that we live that says, go ahead and blame your sorrow on your circumstance or on people around you. But I'm asking you and me today, this great Christmas season, be personally responsible for your happiness. Make that choice. God's given you a sign in Jesus. Why would any of us ever be sorrowful? It's an amazing thing when we get a chance to say, man, I'm going to choose to be happy because of all that God has done and not let situations or an individual rip me off. Now, love of self. Now, it's always important we have some element of love for ourselves or we wouldn't be looking so good. How's that? You look marvelous today. Congratulations. Hey, like my little vest. Here we go. But if we weren't so in love with ourselves, really, which is an element of pridefulness, or again, self-centered, then we wouldn't be so sensitive when things cause a little bit of abrasion. You can handle a lot when you say, Lord, thank you. My joy is in you. My happiness is in you. And there is nothing more liberating, and this is the takeaway, there's nothing more liberating than to love somebody else. There's nothing more liberating than that. To get free from love of self. And the one we probably really ought to aim all that love on is God himself. To love God, to put our focus on God and to love him will signal in areas when he is glorified, it makes us happy. Man, you love somebody, you get excited when attention is brought to that individual. Even when you're going through difficult times. God be glorified in this challenge that I'm going through because I love you. It's great to be able to love God and love others. I'll tell you, it's a source of happiness. It's a source to set you free from saying, why am I not happy? Why do I lack joy? What's wrong with me? When God and others are more important than yourself, I'm telling you, you are on the pathway of real happiness. Real happiness. I think I heard Jesus say something about loving God and loving your neighbor, right? Man, the Lord's so smart. But if you ever pause on those two big commands and you lack happiness, then you're stalled out on self-centeredness. And you're going to become easily offended. And it's going to probably cause those that want you around them this holiday to walk on eggshells. Because people that are self-centered are only easily offended. You have anybody like that in your life? Don't raise your hand again. Look, keep looking straight at me. Don't do it. Yeah, everybody look straight ahead. When we deal with this, most people, and thank you for letting me get a little bit, is that okay that I just poke a little bit? Because we're going for a gift here. It's called happiness. It's yours. It's yours. And the amount of times that I sit with people and I say, I'm just not happy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to move there. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to adjust that. Why don't we just win it right where you're at? Because you can move the boy out of the neighborhood, but you can't get the neighborhood out of the boy. Just let's go for it. But I find so many people are addicted to themselves. It's actually like a drug. Do you know that a person that is addicted to themselves can never be satisfied? Never be satisfied. And you set that person up for real temptations by darkness. I don't know if you've bumped into the devil lately. If you haven't, it probably means you're going with the flow. You know what I mean? Going with the flow. But if you make a U-turn and swim upstream, you're going to have people and situations come in conflict with you. So it's not trying to make the easy way out. The ideal situation is, Lord, help me not to be so stuck on myself. I need a sign. It's Jesus who sacrificed for you. Sacrifice. Oh, I want a better environment. If I could be a little happier, if I had these things moved over into my life. Well, the devil, he went after Adam and Eve, who weren't too satisfied. They were pretty stuck on themselves. And they had a perfect environment. Perfect. Huh? So, dear Lord, liberate me from my self-focused. Where shall I take it? Love somebody. How about loving God? One thing to just celebrate a birth, it's another thing to really celebrate the goodness of the Lord. We all have bright futures. You really do. Your future is so bright, you have to kind of squint to see it because it's so bright. Huh? Remember that. I don't see it. It's because it's so bright. Romans 8:18, which so clearly says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be seen in you. It's written. That's a great prophecy for you. That's a great prophecy for you. So, on this wonderful Eve of the Eve, Isn't it beautiful that we get a chance? I'd like to pray for you. Would you go ahead and let's just close our eyes right now. And Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your goodness. The beautiful way with which you have brought not a sign, but the fulfillment. Jesus the Messiah. And not just to have a beautiful little Christmas display here and there. Have something of beautiful happiness and joy in each of our lives. So Lord, we love you. We thank you. While your eyes are still closed, and you who are watching, it always starts with just surrendering our life to Jesus. It always starts by saying, not only do I believe God, but I want to make it a more personal declaration. If you're needing Christ in your life, you've never remember actually praying to receive him into your life. Would you just, eyes are closed, but I'm looking. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. Thank you. Or to surrender or rededicate your life to the Lord. Just raise your hand. Just put it up, put it down. Okay, good. All right. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Very good. How many would also just say, I really do want to walk in a state of happiness, not according to conditions or circumstances, and I want to break free from what others may have done or afflicted me with? I realize God's speaking to me about my happiness being really found in Jesus. How many of you just raise your hand and say, that's me, I'm all about that. Pray for you as well. Plenty of hands. I'm going to invite you. Why don't you go ahead and join us now and stand to your feet. Let's sing this wonderful Christmas hymn. And I'm going to be coming back and I'm going to be praying with you before we wrap up this service. Thank you. One hand went up to say, I would like to have that experience, that great God and King who brings us some heavenly peace. Maybe you who are watching, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but man, you know something needs to happen in your life. And that great happening is found in Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm inviting you to pray out loud with us. Let's all pray together, just in case you never know. Somebody next to you said, man, I'm going to turn a new page and start fresh. My life for God. Let's do that together. This prayer goes like this, and I welcome you who are watching as well, where you're at. Father in heaven, we believe that you sent your Son, Jesus, to this earth to die for people. And I believe that you gave your life for me. I believe that you rose to life again for me. And right now, dear Lord, I invite Jesus into my life as Lord and Savior. I'm going to trust you for eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, I want to come back and pray for those that just say, you know what, I'm also going to pursue a life of happiness. Remember, that happiness is a choice. It's not a condition. It's not predicated on whether things resolve themselves or not. God's given you a sign. He wants to be with you. Man, it's a beautiful thing. He's here right now. Let's sing one more chorus of that. It'd be great.
Silent night,
to pray for all of us. Something about the goodness of the Lord that brings such an abiding joy, such a long-lasting happiness. That's what makes you attractive to other people. Say, what is it that makes you feel so at peace? Well, let me just pray for those who are just declaring, man, I'm turning my life around to say, I'm not going to let circumstances dictate whether I'm happy or even sad. Watch what God does right now. Not focused on self-interest anymore. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. And thank you. You know what it is to be a giver, for you gave your only begotten Son. And that out of that, as even Jesus says, more blessed to give than it is to receive. But Lord, today, so many of us just need to know what it is. Just have that peace, that happiness, and it comes from you, Almighty God. Therefore, we choose not only Jesus, Lord, everything of your kingdom, and that same powerful Holy Spirit that was there to launch that very miracle startup of the Messiah is even present right here in all his power. So, Lord, you change the situations that anyone is facing that just sucks the life right out of them and causes them to be in a form of despair and gravitating toward depression. And we command that be gone in the name of Jesus. We welcome the kingdom of God. We welcome your peace, Lord. We welcome your happiness and that abiding joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for what he's doing and how he's doing that? Thank you. Well, I'm going to welcome my dear wife, Ainsley. Ainsley, thank you. It's been fun, and we even had our Voices of Hope singing. We're going to actually be back even tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We hope that you'll be able to join us. Our Christmas Eve service, nothing like an Eve when it's dark outside. Isn't that true? So make sure you eat first. That would be good, don't you think? Or bring in the In-N-Out. I don't care. Whatever it is, just come on in and we'll wrap things up within an hour or less and get you back home so that you can play Santa or Mrs. Claus. We'll be thrilled about that. Hey, we want to just give you a little something on your way out. Our ushers have that. It is a wooden little medallion. It's a magnet. Would you take that home and apply it wherever there's metal in your house? Your belt buckle, that's all workable. But it says joy on there, and the star is actually the symbol of the cross. May it be a reminder of what we declared over ourselves. It actually comes from the declaration of Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It's right on there. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's for everybody. That joy, which should be for everybody. You made a decision. And if you ever go back into despair, sorrow, and darkness, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. And it's always centered on the cross of Jesus. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Let me pray a blessing, and we'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Bring a friend, too, would you? We have the best time together when we get a chance to really celebrate Christmas and let people see what Christians who really know how to celebrate Christmas, how it really looks. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
So, Father, thank you for your goodness. And, Lord, may your covering and may your abiding presence mark the homes and the individuals and the businesses and our pursuits. Lord, go before us. Thank you for making this coming 2019 prosperous for everybody. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted?
Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. You're dismissed.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.